And now,
check this out.
It's crunch time with Steve Tannen.
They think he's a righteous dude.
What'd I win?
Live from the Papa John's studio.
Wait a minute. Let me get CB on the line. We're green lighting it. It's a go.
And I want full air support. I want tanks and some fire throwers. And I want explosions over here. And I want planes going. Cool.
Are they going to bust in here and arrest us?
It's crunch time on 95.3 The Score.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. We're as happy as can be. We welcome you to the Thursday edition of Crunch Time and Sports Talk. So, what's going on tonight? NFL? The Chargers? At the Land of Oaks, where Philip Rivers has kind of dominated. Of course, the Raiders sucked for most of the time since the early 2000s. Interesting doubleheader on TNT tonight, hoops-wise. Boston, who's rallied from an opening day loss to win their games. They're a good team. They'd be interesting to folly in the East. They're at Charlotte. The Blazers back in beeswax tonight. They're at the Clippers. I wanted to talk about load management. That seems to be a pretty warm topic on the sports airwaves today. Ion Kawhi. And it's just weird that people would lump him in just not knowing his history. Let's put it this way. When you think of Iron Man, you think of A.C. Green. You think of Brett Favre. You think of Cal Ripken. You don't think of Kawhi Leonard. He's one of the least durable superstars like in NBA history. So I'll run the numbers. We'll talk about that. Just past 5 o'clock, about 10 after, my conversation with Oregon head football coach Mario Cristobal. We've got the Pac-12. We've got the national college football scene. Big weekend as the Ducks take a bye, getting ready for the stretch run. And obviously everything on the line. College foosball tonight. Louisiana and Coastal Carolina. Just throw the records out. Yeah, the Clears against the Raging Cajuns.
Oh, my chance.
That's on ESPNU. We've got American Athletic Conference action. Temple in South Florida today. I bring these up just because somebody out there might decide they want to make a bet. And don't say we don't do the least we can do. A few other things. So the first Star Wars came out 42 years ago, and I'm like the opposite of a Star Wars geek. It's like, yeah, whatever. I saw the first three, seen one or two since. Take it or leave it. I did discover today that Obi-Wan Kenobi is O-B-I-W-A-N. I thought it was Obi-Wan.
Oh, buddy.
Like QB-1. Well, there's R2-D2, I mean, you know, plus, like I said, to me, it's a movie, it's not a way of life. So, being a semi-rational person, and I looked at it, and I was checking it, I was like, never knew that. Learn something new every day. Once every 42 years, I clear up all things Star Wars. And I didn't realize the guy I was used to seeing, the old dude, they kept bringing up pictures of somebody else. I was like, that's not him. And I was like, oh, right. They go before, they go after, blah, 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 doo-dah. USC's got a new athletic director. Make a note of that. The reason I bring that up is, you know, if USC becomes a force again, that impacts the other 11 teams. Well, 10. Colorado, you can't really take seriously.
Oh,
they're so bad. I know they just made another coaching hire, but I was running their numbers. They still, aside from 2016 when they went from out of nowhere to winning the South, they still never won more than two conference games in a season. two. I should have yelled two. And they only have one this year. They've gone 0-1, 2-4. Then they won 8. That's like, and they've been in the league since 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. It's the 9th year in the league. It's like you add up all the other 8, and they got about that many in 1 year. They're having a rough ride of it. The reason I bring that up is Mike Bone, the athletic director. He was the Colorado AD when they decided to leave the Big 12 for the Pac-12. And it's like, I don't know. How good is his judgment? It's also unfair to think about the role of the AD there. I honestly don't know. I would imagine that the administration probably had a pretty substantial say there, and they probably checked in financially. The Wambulance alarm went off last night with Jim Boeheim, Syracuse coach, because they were playing, where did I say they were playing? The Orange Dome? The Carrier Dome against Virginia. And somebody was joking. When you saw the score was 48-34, you were like, ACC football on a Wednesday? Because that, yeah, but that's a more likely football score than basketball score in 2019. So UVA, the reigning Natty winner, started the season on the road. They called it the, that was what Duke played in. All right, never mind. So they lost, and Boeheim was like, I wish we'd have won so when I say it, it would matter, but when you lose, nobody wants to hear it. Right, we don't want to hear it when you lose. It's an excuse. You never want to play these league games early. Dude, it's basketball. All right, relax. Take a chill pill. And then he called it a money grab. And it's like, so TV is a money grab, and you make $2.8 million a year because of TV. So the money grab, some of it is a lot of it is filtering into your pocket. We know the players aren't getting anything. We also know the assistant coaches in basketball aren't making that big of a coinage. So why would you play your first game of the year in the league? For money, for TV. Yeah, we get that. Move along. And by the way, didn't Virginia also have to play? Did they change the rules? No. Syracuse, you cannot prepare for this game. And you have to all play left-handed. And by the way, because of the scheduling, you scored 34 points. There's a shot clock, dude. You shot 24%. Your team shot 14% from downtown. And just in case, you made 3 of 7 foul shots. I don't think it matters where you played or who you played. You make 44% from the line. Shaq's like, you guys are just bricklayers. And I would have said the same thing if we'd won. No, you wouldn't have. You'd be doing cartwheels because you just knocked off the unbeaten, national champs, and you're 1-0 in the ACC. Instead, you whined about it. Wah, 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 wah. Makes $3 million a year. Is going to talk about a money grab. people. Use people. You just kill me, I tell you. You just kill me. All right. 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. There was another story making the rounds. I saw Sarah Spain and Brenda Tracy retweeted it. So Youngstown University, 3 years ago, they suspended a guy. He played tennis. He was found responsible for sexual assault. So 2 years later, they hired him to be an assistant coach of the men's tennis team, then the women's tennis team. Guy, they determined, was responsible for sexual assault. His name is Bassem El Makawi. There are records that are available. There were 3 instances involving 3 different players who got, I like this. Got disciplined for sexually assaulting a female student. I mean, disciplined. Why aren't they arrested? No one was really aware of it because, as you might imagine, Youngstown State Tennis, I'm sure outside of Youngstown State Tennis, is probably not getting a lot of play. But somebody learned about it. Gatehouse Media obtained the information, and they were just researching for a broader issue about the problem that NCAA athletes investigated and found responsible for sexual assault somehow get to keep their playing careers going. And Youngstown State went into lockdown mode and didn't provide any details, but this media corporation hired attorneys and got the university to negotiate. And of course, you get the token comment. It takes the issue of sexual violence very seriously. Well, not really. They talked about the kid, the guy who graduated is no longer affiliated. And it says they confirmed that their Title IX office received a complaint in September of 2016. The student accused one basketball player, and the second incident involved this El Makawi. And then El Makawi got suspended 7 months, only 3 weeks after the victim filed the complaint. So they looked at the evidence, and that's pretty quick, and were like, yeah, you're suspended 7 months. So under what circumstances does that guy come back and get hired to coach women? I mean, I'm a great believer that idiotic ideas are okay to bring up. You know what we should do? Where's the person in the room who stands up and throws a stapler at the administrator and is like, are you effing kidding me? Nope. So this guy did a suspension, went through Title IX training, and then reapplied. And of course, you know, with the NCAA, if you smoke weed or you take $20 for a pizza, the NCAA, oh man, though the penalties are coming. But they still, that's one of the things that Brenda Tracy does. She's working with, you know, other groups. The NCAA still doesn't have a specific penalty for athletes who have committed, by the way, not accused, who were found to have committed sexual assault and other violent offenses. You can't take them seriously. I mean, look at Baylor. Basically, Art Briles and those scumbags were like, would get wind of a rape or a sexual assault, be like, shh, don't tell anybody. I mean, there's a game Saturday. Kathy Redmond is her name. She's a head of the National Coalition Against Violent Athletes. And she says, well, how do you interpret this message other than we will still support your future endeavors at the risk of other students? And like she said, there's only one message. Female athletes are expendable. Youngstown State, by the way. So I was reading that story and just getting aggravated, as you might imagine. Every once in a while, you know, you need to learn to breathe. So let's move on to something a little more pleasant and uplifting and something we can look forward to Saturday. The Oregon women's basketball team, the women's team, are taking on the USA women's national team. It's 4 o'clock. It's at Matthew Knight Arena. We've got tickets to give away. Man, I was looking at the lineup, and tomorrow in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Nneka Agumike. And then at the game will be Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi, Kelsey Plum, super duper star from Washington, and You know, they played at Stanford. They played at Oregon State. They're going to Texas A&M. And then they also announced, I think, pushing into 2020. And it's kind of a fun time for the media because they're going to have a shoot-around until 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. And then they're going to open things up to the media on court. So looking forward to that with great eagerness. Is that game going to be on TV? Oh, I don't think I knew that. I know Terry is going to be calling the action. Oh, it looks like Bev Smith's going to join him as an analyst. So that's even awesomer. You like that? I made up a new word. Awesomer, man. So, yeah. Pac-12 Network will be in town as well. And then the season starts for real against the Huskies of Northeastern on Veterans Day. That's a 3 o'clock start at Matt Knight Arena. So, you look at the credentials of the women's national team. And 96, 2000, 2004, 8, 12, 16. Yeah, that's gold medals. So they're pretty good. Really looking forward to it. You never know when it's going to happen. I don't know what the coaches, whether they're going to go with a zone, whether they're going to play man. But Taurasi v. Ionescu, I am totally circling that one. Because you've got two of the most cutthroat competitors you've ever come across. And it might be an exhibition, but you could imagine how engaged they would be because they didn't become who they are. One of the greatest women players of all time, college and pro, one of the great Pac-12 college players, maybe the biggest name college basketball player around right now in Sabrina. So, you got that going for you, which is nice. Now, what I was bringing it up for a reason, and for the first time in the history of the show, I got sidetracked by me.
Wow. Also not a
person. All right, we've given away a pair of tickets to see Oregon versus the Olympic team. So, if you're interested in the next pair of tickets, text me 321-0824. And a little later on in the program, we'll have a drawing. We'll notify you. I'm going to send a list of four winners to Megan over at the athletic department, and you'll all pick up your tickets at will call. Oh, you will call. So 321-0824. Somebody asked about 12 minutes ago when I was discussing other items, if Oregon and Utah win out and Utah wins in the Pac-12 championship, would they be in the college football playoffs? It depends. There's a set of circumstances which completely eliminates the Pac-12. One is, and I'll give it to you, Clemson wins out. ACC champ unbeaten in. LSU, winner of LSU-Alabama, wins out after that, wins the SEC title in. An unbeaten SEC team and getting left out. Pick a Big Ten team, Minnesota, Penn State, Ohio State. They win out, they're in. Unbeaten Big Ten winner. In with Oklahoma losing to Kansas State, that leaves Baylor as the only unbeaten team from the Big 12. If they were to win out, which would include a victory over Oklahoma, that would be a fourth unbeaten Power 5. So you'd have the four conference champions all unbeaten and all in, no question about it, and that would leave the Pac-12 on the outside looking in. The scenario, and I've been trying to find a way to patent our new theory, is if you're looking at it right now, the Pac-12 path to the playoff is very clear, but very difficult. Utah and Oregon winning out, with Ohio State playing Penn State, LSU and Alabama playing each other. That means when they played for the Pac-12 championship, it would probably be like the and this is assuming all these other teams are winning. So if two of them lost, you would have the number five and the number six teams playing for conference title, which would be an extraordinary win. So I and by the way, this assumes that Auburn finishes the season strong. For Oregon, it would help, and it would help Utah if USC finishes strong, which I don't know if I would count on it because their defense looks pretty suspect, and they've already lost some bad games and got their ass kicked in their most recent game. So the winner there would have a case, I think, if Baylor were to lose, because it comes down to who's got the most forgivable loss. Plus, like you heard from the selection committee and a lot of the national guys, Oregon would have won 12 in a row. And they are in no way going to get punished for that. So Oregon, I think if both Utah and Oregon win out and Oregon wins and Baylor gets a loss, Oregon is in. I would bet a pretty substantial amount of coin that if it were Utah winning the Pac-12 championship game, same circumstances, they get in as well. All right, 284-8571. That's your Oregon fuel injection hotline if you wanted to jump on in. Wanted to remind you that on sale now, our KUJZ Fall Craft Brew Card. It's running all week. I mean, this is a terrific idea when you think about where this business has gone the last 20 years. And a lot of you out there, you love you some quality beer. This is $75. It gets you 20 craft brews on draft, 10 appetizers. The total value is $191. And it's all about the local breweries and tasting rooms. You've got Steelhead. You got the Growler guys. You got Falling Sky Brewery. So go to our website, 953thescore.com. And pick it up. It's the regional craft brew card. It's on sale now. And talk about a great gift. So check it out. Craft brew card or the sweet deal link for your craft brew passport. On sale now. By the way, you do have to be 21 and up. All right. There you go. You've been informed. Let's take a break. We'll be back. We'll have an update. More crunch time. 90-5-3, the score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk. Coors Light is the official sponsor of your Oregon Ducks and the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953 for your chance to get involved. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Just being blown out of proportion, Greeny. This is not an NBA issue. This is a Kawhi Leonard issue. I don't hear anybody else complaining about any other player going through load management. And there is an injury history here. If there's a pre-existing injury history, any player will be able to utilize this card moving forward. This is a new day and age, but once again, we're not talking about other players in the league having load management issues. We're only talking about Kawhi Leonard.
Jay Williams. I was playing. Load management, folks. So we're talking about today. A little frustrating for fans or TV. Not their business. Kawhi Leonard is on the Los Angeles Clippers for one reason: to win in the playoffs for the first time in the history of that garbage franchise. They really don't owe explanations. If you see his health history, NOYB, none of your business, as we welcome you back to Crunch Time. 95-3, the score. We've gone down this road before, not in the NBA. This is kind of a newer phenomenon. If you remember, I think it was 09, the Colts played Peyton Manning last week of the regular season, like a series, then sat him. Seen it happen with Brett Favre. Remember Mike Flynn got that one start.
Matt great. Flynn.
Who did I say, Mike Flynn?
I believe so.
Who's That's Mike someone, Flynn?
No idea. Not Matt Flynn, the guy who played really well and then got a big contract from Seattle and then disappeared into the
And then
the
they drafted Russ Wilson. Oh, Michael Flynn is the felon from the administration. That's right. Former national security advisor. But anyway, I got those confused. I don't think he's got the kind of arm that Matt Flynn had. He definitely doesn't have as many touchdown passes. But anyway, as I was saying, forever, you know, like Jay Williams said, focus on Kawhi. Forget about load management. Forget about sitting. Forget about how many games in a row AC Green played. Forget about Michael Jordan coming back after 3 years off and playing almost all 82. That has nothing to do with anything. It's all completely unrelated. Remember, off the championship he won in Toronto, he was injured. I mean, the focus on Leonard is, yeah, they just won a title. He's a great player. Remember, the year before that, he played 9 games and had to shut it down for good in mid-January. Then last year even, he only played 60 regular season games. I went through every one of his years. His history is littered with DNP injury. Rookie year missed 18 games. 24 year to 16, then 18. That's his first 4 years. He missed 76 games. And that's, you know, in the days of his youth. He missed 10 games 4 years ago, then 8. That was it. His most durable seasons back-to-back. He played 72 and 74 games. And then came 2018 when he played 9 games, 60 last year. So eliminate the 1 year where he only played 9 games. The other 7 full seasons, I'm not counting this year, he's missed 100 games. That's about 15 a year. Having Kawhi Leonard means you got to manage his minutes because he's not Cal Ripken or Brett Favre. When the ball goes in the air during the regular season, he's been out of the lineup 17% of the time. That's a lot. If you include the season, check this out, that he only played 9 games, he's out of the lineup 29% of the time. But when the bell sounds for the playoffs, different story. Played in all 14 games in 2012, all 21 in 13, all 23 when they won the championship in 2014, all 7 the next year. You know, they got run in round 1, ironically, by the Clippers. He played all 10 in 2016 when they got bounced in the second round to OKC. But then in 2017, that's when he hurt his ankle. He missed a game in the West semis and all 4 in the conference finals against the Warriors. He's injury prone. And he missed almost all of 2018. And like I said, when the Colts rested Peyton after a couple of series of final game of 2001, maybe that's because in my mind I hear the people whining. And of course, you know, the fantasy yo-yos. I had Peyton my last year and he didn't play the final series. And if he had 2 touchdown passes, I'd finish third and got $47 from Al. It's like, is that the explanation you get for most fantasy players in that voice?
Well, when you're in a good, a properly run league, you don't play week 17 as a part of your regular season or your playoffs. I guess week 17 of the regular season, which is the fantasy playoffs, you throw that one out. You clear it out because no good league should have somebody who's playing in week 17 strictly because of injuries like that. Because if you've got a championship on the line and you've got too many good players on a good team, you're going to lose, and it's garbage, and your commissioner of that league should be disqualified. Thumb over shoulder, disqualified.
So what happens is they determine that it was targeting, and number 17, thumb over shoulder, has been ejected from the game.
Disqualified.
So I remember that conversation at the time. I said, it's none of your business. Each franchise, depending on the sport and the season, is in a different business. Back in 2009, the Colts were in the business of challenging the Patriots for the AFC title. For the first time ever this year, you might be able to make a case the LA Clippers are in the business of winning an NBA West title. They've never been in that business, or they've tried and failed, location, 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 or for whatever reasons. And guess what's not going to happen unless Kawhi Leonard is able and full tilt for the postseason? And I get it. Times change. People look back. Jordan never missed games. Look how many innings those pitchers. Doesn't matter. That has no. What happened that has no impact right now? Completely different game. Things have evolved. The investment in players. You make a 5-year investment and you're paying a guy $32 million a year. You want him around for the playoffs. It's like, sorry, Wednesday night TNT game occasionally. You're going to have to do without it. Sorry, fan base who pays to see him. Would you rather spring for $127 and miss him in December against Minnesota, or would you rather spring for the $774 playoff ticket and Kawhi Leonard's not there because you insist that he played back-to-back in December? So the game has changed. The stakes have changed. The goals vary from year to year, year to year, year to year, and deal with it. 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. Oh, by the way, I did give away another pair of tickets to see the Oregon women's basketball game Saturday, 4 o'clock, taking on the U.S. women's national basketball team. And from what I understand, there are tickets available, but I don't know, they had like a little over 8,000 sold already. I mean, how rare is it to get to see a team like this in your backyard take on, you know, so the coincidence of, you know, Sabrina wanting to return, like she said, unfinished business after the Final Four loss last year, and it being a year leading up to an Olympic summer, and oh, by the way, it happens to be a number one in the country and conference Oregon team that is very appealing to everybody. So if you first, you've got to have an appreciation for the unbelievable timing of this all with Hebert and Ionescu here, Minyan Moore coming up from SC to hopefully ease the gap caused when Maite went pro and now playing for the Atlanta Dream, and you know what we can expect from Taylor Chavez, and you know the team. So it's kind of awesome. It's worth taking advantage. We'll give away another pair of tickets later. 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you want to jump on in, hit us up via the text line, 321-0824. Try us on Twitter at 953thescore for the station. For the show, it's at Sports Talk 953. For Nick, it's at Rick Nodgers. I wanted to get to some Pac-12 news. And a couple people when I responded earlier about Oregon or Utah being in as a one-loss Pac-12 champ, I'll get into the details, but too many people are referencing the year that the SEC got two teams in. There was a really legitimate case. And the year that, what was it, 2011, when LSU and Alabama played that garbage game 9-6 in overtime, and they ended up playing for the BCS championship in a rematch, there was a really good reason for that. I'll give you the specifics. And to the person who texted me, I'm very happy that I looked it up. The national semifinal games this year, no. The Rose Bowl is not in the mix. So the winner of the Big Ten and Pac-12 are set to meet in the Rose Bowl. But you know how it works. If one of them gets picked for a playoff, you know, I guess I didn't check the logic of it usually goes by who is picked first. So if, let's say, Ohio State wins out and ends up number one in the BCS rankings. So then the Rose Bowl will get to pick the first team to replace them. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. But the national semifinal games this year, by the way, are December 28th. It's the Fiesta Bowl and the Peach Bowl. New Orleans hosts the Natty on January 13th. And by the way, the Orange Bowl is December 30th. December 31st has got to be a Sunday then, if my memory serves, because that's when you've always seen the... You always think, so that's really strange. When is it?
It is a Tuesday, and the problem that they've had with middle of the weekdays is not everybody gets New Year's Eve off.
Right.
So it's tough to ask people to take, basically at that point, Monday and Tuesday, and then, you know, hope that you also have Wednesday off to be able to go to a football game.
All
so
right,
people are working, ratings go down, people get mad about ratings, so they try and move them to the weekend so that more people
I see,
watch.
And there was, they did have a disaster on New Year's Eve a couple years ago. The numbers were off.
That was the second edition of it.
Yeah, that was 2015.
Yeah.
All right, so live and learn. I know historically... If the first falls on a Sunday, they bump it to the next day because they don't want to go head to head with the NFL. All right, that's because when Oregon first made the Rose Bowl in '94, they played Monday, January 2nd.
I think it was the same against Wisconsin, no? Or maybe was the first on a Sunday then too? I remember they didn't play on New Year. I don't think they played on New Year's Day that year.
Yeah, you could do the math and find out. All right, before
do
we
do the math.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
Good joke, Steve.
Ha ha. Our friends at Tap and Growler, 5th and Pearl, downtown Eugene, are, well, literally in the middle of their third annual Bourbon Fest. Started on Monday, and man, they sure put on the Ritz and pull out all the stops, and they're celebrating bourbon and a 7-day celebration. They've got their newly added, very extensive cocktail program. It's called Bourbon Fest, and lots of twists on classic cocktails, bourbon-inspired food specials, barrel-aged beers, live music every night. And talk about the signature stuff. Charred new oak barrels. They've aged for years. You're talking caramel, maple, vanilla, butterscotch, cinnamon, tobacco, all kinds of flavors and aromas. Lot of different ways, and they will suit it just for you. And again, they've got a bunch of specialty bourbon bottles, specialty cocktails. It is 7 days of bourbon, the third annual Bourbon Fest with live music, Tap and Growler, 5th and Pearl, downtown Eugene, online tapandgrowler.com, the Tap and Growler, stay or growl. All right, break time. We'll do this. We'll come back, and we will have a lightning round to wrap up crunch time. 95.3, the score.
Crunch Time on 95.3 The Score is brought to you by Guarantee RV Supercenters. Family owned and operated for more than 50 years. Visit them online at guarantee.com.
Going to be within you, right? So whether you have the TVs on or TVs off should be completely irrelevant. Don't give people ammunition to go, aha! And that's my...
So what was you wanting to say there?
Look, man, we're just trying to focus on what we can do. We're going to worry about this. We're going to worry about that. When he says we're going around the building to try and turn off the television, it's like, why?
I love that. I thought Rome nailed it today. Trubisky is like, we, and Rome's like, no, nobody's talking about the backup wide receiver. Everybody's talking about how bad you are. Maybe the coach. The focal points, because they're failing blatantly. That's Trey Wingo talking on ESPN. So we got that going for us, which is nice. 284-8571. Feel free to Text us 321-0824. So, interestingly enough, I was talking about Kawhi Leonard. So, Doc Rivers has been fined for misleading information. The release about the NBA fining the Clippers following additional review of the Clips not playing Kawhi last night, the NBA's confirmed the team's decision to sit him for management of injury was consistent with league rules. The team has reasonably determined that Leonard is suffering from an ongoing injury to the patella tendon in his left knee, has been placed by the team at this time on injury protocol for back-to-back games. But apparently, wow, they were making statements inconsistent with his actual health status. One, two, three, four. Chris Haynes, Rachel Nichols, Kyle Goon, who used to cover Arizona athletics, or maybe it was Utah. And amazing. So there you go.
Maybe it's just the cheapskate, poor, broke college student that's never left me. But wouldn't a lot of these problems get fixed if tickets were cheaper and fans weren't feeling like they were literally giving away an arm and a leg to see a game and then not have their child's favorite player be playing there? Like, wouldn't the solution just make it more affordable for your fan base to go to another or a different game? But that just won't happen because money and capitalism and so on.
A perfect example is, I've sat through some bad music concerts that I really wasn't loving if I spent $40 or $50. If I got free tickets and I was like, I kind of was wondering about this show, it's like, we're out of here. If you're spending $125 for an NBA game and you find out two of the best players aren't playing and you're like not 100% sure they're being straight with you, you're going to be a little more pissed off than if you got them comped or if you play at 1250.
Well, I'm not even talking about like leaving early. I'm talking about like people being able to be like, oh, darn, we missed Kawhi this week, but it's a good thing tickets didn't cost an arm and a leg. It was only a pinky finger. I've got another pinky finger that's totally
right out there.
Right. We can go to another game and we'll be able to see Kawhi then when it's, you know, we'll read into the schedule a little bit more. It won't be on a back-to-back. Maybe before a long weekend, he's for sure going to play. Like, if you're not alienating your fan base from feeling like they're already paying too much money to go to something and they're mad that they're not seeing the thing they're there to pay, that they're paying for, if you made it a little bit cheaper, they would be less mad and everybody wouldn't care so much that some guy isn't playing.
All right.
Right?
I can't argue with you.
Okay.
God knows I'd like to. All right.
Wait, what's that?
I don't know. Man, we're running late. Let's wrap crunch time. It's Thursday. Let's try this.
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Luckily, I have prepared for such an event. The lightning round!
And it's a bye week lightning round. That means Saturday morning I get to lie down. I don't have to spend 10 hours going round and round. It's nap time. It's the bye week lightning round.
A plus. You reminded me. Naps are coming this weekend, Steve? Let's go. Because normally it's only naps on Sunday where you hit that the lull between the morning and the afternoon games. You're like, this is a nap time. I'm either going to do one of two things. I'm going to shower or I'm going to nap. And now I get the nap on Saturday.
Both.
No, you can't. There's no time, because if you do both, you're missing too much football. Anyways, the lightning round. As fun as it was watching the college football playoff rankings while in press row at the Oregon men's basketball game on Tuesday night, there's still some major questions coming out of the TV show Spectacular. There's the big ones like, why are Clemson, the team who hasn't lost in like a year and a half, they're the reigning national champions, they're currently undefeated, why are they not in the playoff? Well, that's why we have Rob Mullins. The Oregon AD is the spokesperson that tells us what the committee is thinking in their rankings. He's the voice to their madness, the true north on their compass. Except there's one problem. Because Mullins is the Oregon athletic director, he can't talk about Oregon in the committee room or hear what's being talked about Oregon in the committee room. And that's fair. That's been the case for other ADs that have been on the committee as well when their team comes up in discussions. But the issue here is that Mullins has to talk with Reese Davis every week about what the committee is saying about each other. And Oregon, being seventh, they're pretty deep into the conversation about being in playoff contention. As pointed out by Stuart Mandel of The Athletic, What's going to happen come, say, November 26th? If Oregon has kept winning, you've got the Alabama-LSU game that's going to change some things. Penn State-Ohio State. Oregon's going to move up, and Mullins will be removed from the room and then asked to talk about on television what's being talked about in a room when he's not there. How is that going to work out? So Rob Mullins, being the spokesperson of the committee and not hearing what's actually being said, but then having to talk about what he's not hearing, is a big little or no deal.
Very little deal. There have been other guys who've been on the committee that are able to speak to it because they get an explanation. So, little.
Speaking of the playoff rankings, the Minnesota Golden Gophers are getting no respect, I tell you. The fighting PJ Fleck started off the season with 3 nail-biting wins, but since getting into Big Ten play, each one of their wins has been bigger. They won by 7 over Perdue, 23 over Illinois, 27 over Nebraska, 35 over Rutgers, 42 over Maryland, and okay. I know these teams are all very bad and the wins aren't great as they sound, but you've got to have some sort of momentum of winning 8 in a row, right? And the big problem is, of course, their upcoming schedule. 3 of their next 4 games are against teams currently in the top 15, and only one of those is a top 15 game on the road, but the big one is against Penn State. It's had a fun final 4 games for the Fightin' Flex. Their 2 hardest are against teams that aren't in their division, and they have 2 games in their division with a chance to get into the Big Ten championship game, maybe an at-large bid to a New Year's 6 game? Who knows? What percent chance do you give the PJ Fightin' Flex of Minnesota to get to a New Year's 6 bowl game?
A New Year's 6 bowl game. So they would have to win 2 big games, and I don't see that happening. I'm going to give them a 1 in 10 shot, 10%.
The NFL quarterback carousel has a really high potential of being fun this offseason, and I say has potential because of things like the franchise tag exist. Plenty of quarterbacks have been moved down the pecking order or put in a situation where it's been kind of made clear they're not welcome here, at least... We think they're not welcome here. Like I said, the quarterback market could be interesting. Not too many franchises are going to have the spark or the excitement that's going to come out that they think they're going to get if they sign a Andy Dalton or Marcus Mariota.
While
we think many of these quarterbacks are done, there's still the chance that a backup is a lot worse than expected. The guy the GM was targeting in the draft doesn't fall to him, or maybe the whole plan falls apart, and then, hey, look who's there. The veteran leader that's been a part of the franchise his whole career. Which quarterback is most likely to return to their team this offseason? The Red Rifle, Randy Dalton, Marcus Mariota, or Cam Newton?
Wow, you gave me 3. So
that is 3.
Dalton, Marcus, or Newton? Wow, but none.
Wow, okay.
Of those 3, I would say Cam.
Fair enough. Last one. Stop everything you're doing. Steve, put down that pen. We have a major announcement. Ohio State and Georgia have scheduled a home and home, and it's going to be great. 2 schools, great fans, big stadiums, big fans. Oh, not the teams. We don't know anything about the teams because the home and home is scheduled for 2030 and 2031.
Whoa.
That is 11 years in the future. 11 years. Years. The 5-star freshman QB that the Buckeyes are going to be starting, he just turned 7. The senior tackle that's getting a lot of draft hype for his quick feet, his vision, his strength, and that motor that just won't quit, he's 10. What is the point of all of this? I can hardly get excited about next year's season of games, and that includes Ohio State coming to Autzen, and you wanted me to get excited about a game that won't happen until I'm 37? The
yes.
Ohio State-Georgia schedule in 2031 is blank.
Well, it's great they scheduled it. It just has absolutely no meaning now because everybody who's going to play in it just skinned their knee at recess. So that's kind of awesome. All right, that brings us to break time. We'll be back. It's the 4 o'clock hour. Some refer to it as Sports Talk. Next, 95.3 The Score.
Playoffs?